Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Along the show, we'll be speaking about the education sector, and we'll have a studio guest who's going to tell us. She works for the Africa Leadership Network, Senior Samata, who's going to talk to us about what she does and how you can glean from it, and also just about her goals and what she sees as a future for the industry. Right, so let's go back to this issue we mentioned earlier on that we wanted to talk about, the fact that 70% of South African CEOs say they're cautiously optimistic for the 2025 GDP growth to hit 1.5%, although there was a slight drop in confidence. We saw the figures recording a 2% decrease between the third quarter of 2024 and the fourth quarter of 2024, reaching a score of 53.9% on the CEO Confidence Index. To speak more about this, Miles Waldeck, head of M&A Buy Side at Mercantech Capital, joins us. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Good evening to you and your listeners. Thank you for having me on.
So the level of optimism amongst the CEO, according to this index about 2025 for GDP growth, what is it mainly bolstered by, despite the decrease that we saw in the last quarter?
It's coming down to a myriad of factors. Firstly, it's the success of the GNU. As a young democracy, South Africa has shown such progress in being able to come together and listen to the will of the people and informing a national government of unity. We've also seen improvement in our macroeconomic conditions in terms of what we've done with the port infrastructure and how we've handled load shedding. As South Africans, we've managed to stop scoring the own goals that have provided us with some challenges in the past, and we're starting to create conditions that are more conducive to the business environment. As a result, we've seen an uptick in CEO confidence, and hopefully this persists into the near term.
If we could just break down those figures, those factors. I know there are specific sector insights.
Yes, there are specific insights. What's quite fantastic about the Quarterly Confidence Index is that it allows us to look at various different sectors and give us a bit of a nuanced lens. Obviously, certain sectors are impacted by certain factors. For example, real estate has had a little bit of a negative comeback. As a result, we haven't seen the reduction in interest rates, hoping that real estate agents could see, and that would obviously result in more property purchases. While other sectors, such as industrials, have seen an uptick as confidence is starting to improve due to those pre-aforementioned macroeconomic conditions.
The rise there that we saw was primarily driven by a 12% increase in confidence relating to their planned level of investment. Can you elaborate further on this?
So how this Quarterly Confidence Index is constructed, it collates across five different questions. So the questions unpack where do you believe your industry or sector is going, and then where do you believe your company is actually going? So there's a myriad of different actual factors that go into that percentage that allows it to see that 12%. So it's primarily the improvement in the macroeconomic conditions that have allowed those to come through.
Okay. And just looking at consumer staples, that recorded a 10% increase, moving the score to 68.13. What happened there? What was the confidence really driven by?
Again, I'm sorry to repeat myself. It's primarily based on these improvements in these macroeconomic conditions.
Okay.
So that's primarily
activities.
What's emanating through in terms of this report.
So you're saying that has cascaded throughout the various sectors, the business activities.
Correct.
And okay. All right, so which are the sectors that you think are going to drive growth in 2025?
It's quite an interesting question you pose here. Yeah, obviously we have to look to the US election and the change in the administration. Previously, Mr. Trump has been quite isolationist and protectionist. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of quotas and tariffs he starts to implement in terms of his trade policy and how that's going to affect the rest of the various different sectors. Another interesting component is the renewal of AGOA, which gives African countries such as South Africa preferential access into the states. So I believe as we improve our industrial conditions, the automotive sector, we should see an upswing, and we're going to continue to see strong agricultural performance, although we're moving into a tougher climatic conditions given the change in the rain forecast. We still managed to produce quite a substantial white and yellow maize output this year, and we should still see agricultural exports continue. Our wines are strong and our fruits are strong, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with obviously the determination from the European Union regarding the citrus, because citrus is quite a key export for us. So I definitely see industrials picking up. I definitely see agriculture continuing on its upswing. What will be interesting to see is how services continue. We've seen a lot of Western and Eastern firms starting to relocate or offshore certain services and to South Africa, given our quite highly educated population, our strong and strong English proficiency. We're able to service many of those markets quite amazingly.
I mean, I know you spoke about positivity along macroeconomic conditions, particularly looking at the GNU is one of the highlights. You know, I was reading an article that was saying, yes, it worked well so far, but we are possibly going to start seeing some fractures, and that some think that maybe the honeymoon period is over. Because largely it comes down to policy and ideological differences have been some have pointed out as a possible source of the rift, but others say actually largely there is common understanding of the major goals. Where do you sit on that?
It's a very interesting question you pose here again. If we look to our European counterparts, coalition governments are often very, very slow to act and very, very difficult to get legislation through. We've seen the ANC continue to push through policies that were proposed and put forward before the GNU, and we started to see a little bit of pushback from the other major parties, such as the DA. If we look at the Bella Bill and unfortunately the fallout that potentially came from that. We are a young democracy, but we've actually shown quite impressive maturity. And I believe South Africans, we make a plan. We're very, very resilient, and we will come to the table to take us forward. So I believe we are in for some growing pains. Obviously, ideological differences between the left and the right will play out in our political spectrum. But I believe the needs of the people are being put at the forefront, and this is how we've seen how we've managed to tackle load shedding. It's amazing to go from where we were in 2023 to where we're now sitting in 2025. It's a miracle. But that just shows you if big labor, big business, and government come together, we can actually create the conditions conducive to driving the growth needed to uplift many who are suffering in unemployment and in poverty. So I believe we are aligned. It's just creating the conditions and navigating through. It's interesting to see the arrival of new political parties such as MK and the potential dissolution of the EFF, which seems to be a little bit on the back burner. So going forward, it's going to be an interesting time. There's going to be more growing pains, and I think we will see how it plays out when we hit the municipal elections that are coming up in the near term.
You mentioned industrial policy, and I want to explore further the dichotomous role and even outcome from left and right. In this case, I'm talking about labor because they, for instance, would say for years, government has been talking about developments of infrastructure and infrastructure spend. And I see, according to the CEO's index, these are some of the positives that you see, that you're saying there are results that are there. But what is the litmus test? I mean, some of these can be rather high-level academic discussions for the man on the street.
I think a good barometer to gauge this is to have a look at what's happening at the port infrastructure. Transnet plays such a critical role to being able to allow our exports to thrive, to get the coal out, to get our citrus out, to get the various other minerals we extract. I think if we start to see Transnet getting its house in order, I think that'll be an amazing reflection of where we're going in terms of economic output. Because the more foreign currency we can bring in, the greater we can reduce our trade deficit and the more foreign direct investment we can then attract. So for me, the litmus test would probably be to see what happens now over Transnet. We've managed to start to clear the port backlogs. I can jog your memory to Christmas in 2023. There were more than, I think, 100 ships outside the Durban harbour. We've managed to now rectify that backlog, and we're starting to see trade flows starting to normalize to pre-COVID levels. So for me, the litmus test would probably be what's happening at Transnet from that type of perspective. We definitely need to pursue more infrastructure projects. My greatest concern is, what is the impact of the construction mafia in terms of delaying these projects? And unfortunately, a lot of our large construction companies have been impacted over this period. Are they able to turn around and start pursuing new projects to drive growth? Quite critically, we have to lay more than 14,000 kilometers of transmission lines. There's lots of opportunity to connect various different types of renewable resources to the grid. And I'm interested to see what happens in the Orange River Basin in terms of the big gas and oil discoveries there, and what we're going to do to look to how to extract that and drive our economy forward. It'll also be interesting to see if we start to explore fracking in the Karoo again. Maybe that's an option, maybe it's not. It will be interesting to see how this plays out.
And there was a discussion around legislation on obviously stemming this practice of the construction mafia. These draft regulations, have you seen them? Do you think that they will address the problem of this criminality?
Unfortunately, I am not familiar with these draft regulations at this stage. It's something that I would need to get up to speed with. Like everything in life, it's always about execution and implementation. Sometimes we have some of the greatest policies in the world. It's just how do we police it and how do we manage it? For me, the key is, what is the underlying systemic reason behind these construction mafias? Is that we haven't uplifted enough people out of poverty, and we haven't created enough opportunity for people to be able to prosper. And in tackling that, we will subsequently also tackle the construction mafia. Mm. So like everything in life, the dichotomy of this two-headed dragon is, we've got to do both at the same time, which is not always an easy feat.
And this is what I'm wondering, because I know they are looking at the Public Procurement Act as one of the instruments to deal with it, but it is ultimately a law enforcement problem, is it not?
It's a bit of both. I definitely agree with you with that statement. It is a law enforcement issue. We are looking to expand our police force. It is something to tackle. This is a challenge for the new police leadership to see how they can help big business. But it takes a two-pronged approach. You need both strong order and law. So the judicial system should also need to be adjusted slightly to be able to maybe fast-track prosecutions or streamline certain things so we can deal with these criminals in an effective and fair way.
And just very quickly, the reason I ask that is because one of the things you obviously do look at in your confidence index is the business environment. And you do have multinationals whom you speak to who are part of the survey. I'd imagine that is something that's probably high up on their list if they're looking at investment and growing it.
Correct. Probably the most important factor for any multinational looking to do business in any country is, how is the rule of law and what are my protection of property rights? Those are two critical components to be able to create the confidence to say, I'm ready to make a long-term investment. I think our non-aligned stance allows us to attract investment from both the West and the East, and this is going to be critical going forward. We need to be able to use all realms of our advantages to be able to drive this country forward.
Thank you so much for speaking to us about the CEO's Confidence Index. Miles Waldeck, Head of M&A Buyside at Mercantech Capital.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.